John, thanks for being here with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
We're talking today here on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and John, you actually got a chance to see Dr. King speak at Central College in 1967. I guess before we talk about the speech itself, kind of talk about the times and what was going on in the late 60s there as Dr. King was coming to Iowa here.
Well, yeah, you do have to put his visit in perspective. A lot of it has been forgotten, I think. And for one thing, I grew up in Knoxville and graduated from Knoxville High School and then went on to Central College. So growing up in a small town in Iowa and then going to a small liberal arts college in Iowa, you know, my world was pretty white and there wasn't a lot of diversity, and I didn't see a lot of diversity and didn't get involved much in any kind of social interaction. So, you know, seeing Dr. King at Central College was a real moving experience for me, because all of a sudden I was looking at a black man, a very intelligent black man, a very educated, very good speaker, a person who is a leader in the black community. And all of a sudden it hit me that this was part of what was going on in history at that time. And when I thought about this, I did think about putting it in a historical perspective, because I think some of that has been lost over the years. And maybe, if you will, I'll just kind of go back and highlight some things that were going on in my time. The first thing that I remember about the struggles of the people of color in the United States was how I remember the Rosa Parks incident, where she sat in the white section of a bus and it caused a real stir. And that was the first indication that I had that there was a leader in the black community, Dr. Martin Luther King, because at that point during that problem, he led a protest for the discrimination of blacks in transportation, especially busing, things like that. Then I remember Little Rock, Arkansas, and I think it was about 57, that the schools were integrated. And my gosh, you saw on TV where that President Eisenhower had to call out military troops to escort them into the building. The Woolworth set in Montgomery, Alabama in the early 60s, where black students sat in the white section of a diner in Woolworths. Then the Freedom Riders of 1961 that went around through the South and integrated the transportation system. And all of this stuff is on TV, and you're being bombarded with it all the time in the news. James Meredith, who was the first black to enroll in the University of Mississippi, and President Kennedy at that time had to send troops to allow him to enter the university buildings. And then in high school, you know, 1963 was an incredible year for developments of the civil rights movement. In I remember Dr. King being arrested in Birmingham. That was my first real opportunity to really listen to what he said and read about what he was writing about, because he wrote what's called the Letters from the Birmingham Jail. And in those letters, he said something that I've always thought about, said that people have the moral right to disobey unjust laws. That's a pretty incredible thing to say. Plus, he, in those letters, showed his disappointment with the mainstream white churches in America, that he didn't feel were getting behind the movement and really standing up for the rights of the people of color in the United States. And of course, his being in jail caused great riots to happen in Birmingham. And on television, you could see they were using water hoses and batons. Blacks were being beaten. They were being hosed down. It was a terrible sights on television at that time. You know, and it was during that 1963 period that four little girls were killed in a bombing in a church. And of course, Kennedy was assassinated that year. And again, I was at Central College and I remember that, you know, vividly. But, you know, the bright spot of 1963, the year I graduated from high school, was the March on Washington. That was when Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech, and it really uplifted the nation, where a quarter of a million people came to Washington to listen to a black man talk about the struggles of his people. then I remember the voter registration thing. They put all sorts of obstacles in the path of Black Americans to vote. So there was voter registration in the later 60s, and finally in 64, President Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act, which gave the federal government the ability to enforce the desegregation laws in the country. And Selma happened, you know, the march to Selma that everybody has, I've hopefully has seen on TV, where the police beat up the marchers, and that was all about the right to vote. And the Watts riots, they, on television, you watched entire communities burn to the ground because of this conflict. And the Black Panthers arise in the mid-60s, and they became a very militant group. Then 67, you know, that brings us up to when Dr. King was at Central. You know, with all of this going on around us in the small college in a small town in Iowa, it really brought it home to me anyway that here was a leader in this conflict and a person that was really trying to do something to make life better for people of color within the United States. And then, of course, he was assassinated in 1968, just a year after he was at Central. So, you know, an awful lot was going on at that time. And a couple of things that I remember most about Martin Luther King is that, first of all, he didn't let fear, anger, and hatred run his life. And that was a real important lesson to me, anyway. He knew that he was in danger every time he spoke, every time he left his office, every time he was on the streets. He understood that he was in danger of not being able to continue his work because of fear, anger, and hatred among the white community. And unfortunately, it finally did happen to him. But he kept on. He didn't let that kind of thing stop him from doing the things that he thought was right. The other thing that I remember, always have kept in mind from listening to his speeches and reading all of the stuff that I've read about him, is a quote. It's about not judging people by the color of their skin, but judging them by the content of their character. And that quote has stuck with me my entire life. And, you know, sometimes I haven't been great at it, but I've really, really tried to live with that. After I saw Martin Luther King at Central, I took a break from school, kind of a 60s dropout thing, pretty typical of that time. But during that dropout period, I became very involved in the civil rights movement and the peace movement in the Des Moines area, and worked in both of those, with both of those organizations. I wasn't a leader, I was just part of it, but felt like I was contributing to change, contributing to things happening within the community. And after that involvement, I decided that I'd better get back to school, so I went back to Central and finally graduated. Then, with all of this behind me and all of the influence that Dr. King had and a lot of other people, I might add, I began working in President Lyndon Johnson's anti-poverty programs in Des Moines, and was working with youth programs primarily in the inner city of Des Moines and poor, disadvantaged. And then I continued on in that kind of work pretty much till I retired. But Dr. King's influence, that one time I saw Dr. King, I think had a tremendous influence on the direction that I was going to take my life and the dedication that I had to get to do what I did in the human service field. And I worked in that field for almost 30 years.
So looking back now at what has conspired in the past, I guess, 45, 46 years since Dr. King spoke at Central College, how do you think the world has changed, and how do you think Dr. King would look at what change has occurred and what still needs to occur?
Well, I think he would be proud of a lot of the changes, the civil rights acts that have been signed, again, starting with Lyndon Johnson. But I think he would think there was a lot of work to do. I mean, I doubt if he would be sitting around thinking that you know, my work's done. It's a continual struggle. And I think he would still be on the streets. I think he'd still be preaching. He would still be trying to uphold the laws in his way, which was nonviolent civil disobedience. And I think that's another thing to take away from Dr. King, is that civil disobedience in just causes is okay, but violence, he didn't condone it and he didn't want it. So I think he'd still be working hard in our political system, maybe, because it certainly has its problems with gridlock. I think he'd be working within the communities on a grassroots level to motivate people and to get groups together to continue the effort of equality.
Finally, I guess, how important was Dr. King in history?
Well, I think he's tremendously important. He's a person that I think probably comes along every 100, 200 years. I put him in the same category as the founding fathers of the nation. He has that kind of importance. The history of the United States, you know, the greatest country in the world, and I certainly agree with that, but it has had its flaws along the way. We have had problems where people thought they could own other people and that women didn't have the right to vote, on and on and on and on and on. We're turning all of that around, and it's because of people like Dr. King, and especially him, that a lot of progress has been made to create an equal playing field for people, especially people of color, extremely important in our history. And that's why I think people have recognized him in naming streets and this day, today. And it's important today. You know, it's doubly important today because we're swearing in for the second time, our first black president. And we're doing that on Martin Luther King Day. And I think that's a great, great time to celebrate.